Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are so happy to have in the studios with us Omri and Leslie Grilla of Ofalafo Cafe and Food Cart, and they are single-handedly starting the food cart revolution here on the North Coast. So welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
You know, we usually start our show by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you ended up here on the North Coast, and I'm just going to look straight at you, Leslie, and say, tell us how you ended up here.
Well, my parents have a house in Surf Pines, and my dad's grandparents built a house in Gearhart. So my family's been coming to the coast for a long time, and we came to be close to them.
That's great. And I think, Omri, your story's a little more complicated, isn't it?
As expected. Right?
That's why I started with you second.
Well, no, I came to the United States in 1979, many years ago, and I actually was in New York for some time, and actually that's where I started making food in Manhattan, and I had my first restaurant. And it's a long story, one day could be told, that I opened, I was about 24 then. And then I was in Hollywood for several years and did a couple arrangements there. And then I moved to Southern California in the Palm Springs area, and I was there for many years.
And so were you always fixing Mediterranean food?
Actually not. You know, Mediterranean food is kind of becoming now, but if you go back to the 80s, the beginning of the 80s, first there were no foods like, except, you know, American food, which was simple meat and potatoes, and some of the, if you wanted to have ethnic foods, you'd go to Chinatown, or you go to Little Italy, or you go, you know, I mean, in, there were no restaurants that were combination restaurants, unless there were specific mother and father and grandpa restaurants. So, and, you know, originally, when I just got here, the French cuisine was still raging here, you know. So, and then Nouvelle Cuisine came in, maybe a little bit towards the middle of the 80s. Yeah. And the Italian invasion, what we call in the food industry, came in at the end of the 80s. Yeah. And so everybody cooked Italian, which I did too. And we did all the pastas and all the northern cuisine and all the beautiful pizzas with all the topping and whatnot. And that went on for some time. And maybe about the end of the 90s or something, middle of the 90s something, everybody kind of looking for something. And I had then started in Palm Springs, you know, had several restaurants there and started presenting Middle Eastern food, Mediterranean, though, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Because that opened doors to do food that are encompasses that Mediterranean Sea, you know. So it's like all the countries that are laid around the Mediterranean Sea, which is many. And it left a lot of variety and of foods and food products and styles, which had solely had been built in the cuisine, but it wasn't originally such a cuisine at all.
What would you say are characteristic of Mediterranean cuisine? Like, what are some of the ingredients, you know, or styles, or things like that?
I see specific kind of vegetables and herbs and spices and a fashion of which how you prepare them more than anything. I think Mediterranean more than anything touches vegetables, the way they're cooked, and things that are cooked more on fire, in open fire. Fish and even lamb, and but less the thing of the beef and the you know, more fish, vegetable, fresh herbs, and a lot of open fire. That kind of, when you say that, people think, wow, that's like the Mediterranean Sea. You know, I would say this is what characterized.
And so is this the food that you grew up on?
See, I grew up in Israel. I'm from Israel. So the food that we have is very diverse, because big part of the Israeli established country came from Central Europe. Which gives us the Central European cooking, which is not that Mediterranean at all. And then you have all the Eastern Bloc, which is all the kind of Arab countries, which is from Morocco, Iraq, you know, Yemen, you know, Egypt. Style foods that are more the one that I like to cook today, which is more spicy, more herbal, more fire, more. So you have in Israel a combination of these foods. So I have been affluent with both of these cooking because I grew up with it. And
which is great.
I had a good feel to it.
Yeah, and it's delicious food. Yeah. I mean, okay.
And healthy.
Yeah, really healthy. I think it's something that hasn't been seen in this part of the country.
Very health-oriented and plain and simple, but with a lot of flavor.
It really focuses on fresh ingredients.
Yes.
Is my impression.
Very important.
Yeah.
In Middle Eastern food and Mediterranean.
Yeah.
Is that sea breeze freshness. And we're here in Astoria.
Sea
how can you go?
Freshness, yes.
I mean,
well, you don't really think of Astoria as Mediterranean in any way. But you have a lot of the ingredients, and you can bring the ingredients to this area.
A lot of small farmers that bring some really amazing stuff out there that we just love.
You know? So how did you two meet?
His restaurant down in Palm Springs.
Really?
Yeah, I was training horses around the corner, and I would stop in there because I like to eat good food and had been told about it, and that's where we met.
That's great. And how long have you been up here on the North Coast?
I think we got the house in Brownsmead about 8 years ago. And it was a summer house because we had he had a restaurant in Palm Springs area, and we would come up and spend the summer with all the animals. We would drive up.
Oh.
My mom calls him Noah.
Well, we had a big semi-trailer truck, and then we took all the horses and the sheep and the dogs.
Like 30 animals.
And we come here for the summer to get out of the heat in the desert.
Yeah.
And then when the winter comes, we're load everybody in a truck, go down to the desert. So we, you know how the snowbirds go, you know, people go back and forth. Well, we did
but you
that.
Would bring all your animals.
We had sheep. Yeah, we have snowbird sheep and horses.
Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
None of them golf, though.
Wow. Well, we're pretty lucky to have you up here. This is great.
And what made you do a food cart? I mean, this is something I'm curious about, because you've had lots of restaurants, so why a food cart?
Well,
it's a very different...
Here's the thing, you know, I mean, the restaurant business, first, I had many restaurants. You know, I had possibly 9 restaurants that I had opened. I always had, at one time or another, a restaurant at various parts of the country. And I love this industry because I love to cook and I like to see people eating the food and really enjoying it. So it is important to me that I use really good, healthy food. It is. So, I mean, coming to Astoria this late, you know, in the season for me, to open another restaurant at a time where the restaurant business is having some difficulties because of how to delegate cost and how to delegate marketing for the public with prices that are affordable but with good food, which is expensive. You know, it is a difficult time.
It's a huge challenge.
And also because it is... The restaurant business is very tolling. It's a tough work.
Yes.
I like the tension and the pressure, but I do understand. I also, you know, it's a tough work.
Yeah.
You
so
know,
this is this kind of like a semi-retirement?
So that's a retirement.
Yeah.
So the cart is my retirement. But unfortunately, unfortunately with me, when I do something, it's not doesn't stay like that. So now Leslie is doing all this fresh foods that we're now packaging and putting in stores.
Which
so now it's starting to become...
So when did this start? So you're now packaging. What are the products that you're packaging and selling sort of
wholesale?
We're
starting with the salads and spreads. So we have the hummus, baba ganoush, Turkish salad, and then the fresh salads are the Israeli salad and tabbouleh. They're over at the co-op, and Gearhart Market is now carrying them. And
nice.
I think we've got a couple kind of on the fire just along the coast we're starting. And the neat thing that I'm excited about is the falafel, the ground falafel, which you can buy in a tub fresh. I think we're going to start trying to do a frozen version also so that it has a little bit longer shelf life. But it has about a 2-week shelf life anyway, and they can cook it at home. So you just form it in a ball and cook it in oil at home. Because, getting back to the fresh thing, it's good if you eat it right away.
So tell us what's in falafel.
So just wheel back for a second about the freshness thing. You know, I mean, food that you buy in the market needs to have a long enough shelf life so that you pick it up there and then go home with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a serious issue. You know, I mean, it's just not something offhand. You have a packaged food that you don't want to soil with preservative, and I don't.
Yeah.
I want you to get your food fresh the way I prepared in your kitchen.
Right.
So we're now struggling with developing and working with Oregon
State University. Sea Grant.
Oregon what?
Oregon State University.
Right.
Extension, Sea Grant, and Mark Whittem, who is
exactly.
our
seafood
specialist.
Yes, team there.
And I'm glad that you know that. Anyway.
They work in the same office. Yeah. She has to know who he is.
The thing is that I want really to produce something that will sit on the shelf for a week, and a half or so, hopefully.
So you have to have the right packaging. Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about here. With the, now, falafel is chickpeas, garlic, cilantro, parsley, and a seasoning, which I make, which is consists of about six different spices.
Oh, that's great.
And we call it allspice, which is also going to go on the shelves. And that allspice is what gives the flair of that, Middle Eastern, more than Mediterranean, but the Middle Eastern flair. Yes. Flavor that we look for, and it's a combination in various ratio of cinnamon, clove, coriander, cardamom, cumin, paprika, and just a touch of cayenne. That in different ratios mixed together into a powder that you toss on your food, and you can use it on your chicken, lamb, vegetable, grilled vegetables. It is open. What it does is give you, so at any rate, very simple falafel, like I said.
Well, and it's vegetarian, right?
Yes.
It's vegan.
So people
vegetarian, gluten-free. And gluten-free.
Great.
And it's just that way anyway. It's not like you've had
naturally
to make it that,
that
way.
Way.
That's just how it is.
That's what it is. And it has
amazing,
it's a good source of protein and fiber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the nice thing is... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so just for people who haven't had it before, how is falafel normally served? How would you serve it?
So here we go. You take it. I'll go from the beginning. Chickpeas that are dry.
Which are also known as garbanzo beans for our audience. Yep.
They're soaked in warm water for several hours until they reconstitute, meaning that now you have something that's snappy, but it's not cooked. The chickpea is no longer dry in the middle, hard. Now it's reconstituted. It's soaked the water. You got the chickpeas, raw garlic,
fresh cilantro
and parsley. Both of them are fresh, chopped green.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratio are, you know, I would say like if you take a cup of chickpea, you take a big heaping spoon of chopped raw garlic and about a quarter a cup of chopped cilantro and quarter a cup of chopped parsley. Put them together, salt and pepper, and get some of the allspice for me.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Or not for me. Get it from the from the market, wherever it's going to be.
Yeah.
Some of that, a lot or less, as you like. And all that goes into a grinder. We grind that together so it comes out like little... How should you describe it? A ground.
Yeah. Would that be something that people could do in a food processor?
Right. You could do it. Yeah. Could be.
You use a different kind
of
grinder.
It could be, but I prefer to do it in a grinder because it doesn't emulsify it.
Like we have an attachment.
Yeah,
yes.
Like we have
a
grinder.
Yep. Oh, okay.
We have an attachment for our KitchenAid.
Now we make little balls, which are 3/4 inch in diameter or so, but not much bigger because the problem with that is if it's too big or if it's too large, the center won't cook.
Sure.
And in a pan, you heat up very light vegetable oil of your choice, but not olive oil and not peanut oil and not any of the heavy oil. Something very light. Canola, soybean oil, safflower, anything that's crispy and light. You heat it up to 350 or so degrees. You make little balls and put them in the oil for 3 to 4 minutes. Depends. You like them well in 4. You like them less in 3. Basically, you get those little crispy balls with a nice, tender, soft center.
Is this like a deep fry?
It needs to be like that so that the whatever it is that you put in, it has to be covered with oil. So I'd say about an inch and a half of oil in the pan.
So somebody who picks up a container of your falafel mix will make the little balls, and then they'll have to fry it.
And they'll fry it.
Okay. Fry it at home.
And it had. And incidentally, this has a description. That what I just talked
it's
about.
It's all on the
it's
packaging.
It's on the package.
Oh, that's great.
Describing how to make the balls, how to fry it, what oil to use, all that. It's on the package. So make sure, you know, you can go to the co-op and pick it up over there, and you take it home and just make yourself some hors d'oeuvre quickly.
I've even cooked them at home, and I can't even toast.
It is very simple and quick job, and you know that you're eating. Now here's the key. What we're working with Mark
Whittem.
Because Mark will help us keep this fresh for a long time without using preservative.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. We're halfway through the show already. Can't wait to get back and talk a little bit more about this great food. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. So if you're just joining us, we're talking with Omri and Leslie.
Omri.
Yes.
I like that. O from Olive.
Yeah, O from Olive. Omri. And Leslie of O Falafel Cafe Olive. And Food Cart, which is out at the Astoria Indoor Garden Supply parking lot most days of the week, except for when you are at markets.
And so, luckily, one of our markets is right there.
Yes.
And actually, thanks, huge shout out to Oscar and Gary, who
aren't
run such a great shop and are really, truly great guys.
They are truly awesome people.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah.
So tell us about the other markets that you do. So if you, so we were just talking about how to cook falafel at home, but if that sounds too complicated and overwhelming to you, you can go and get it at the food cart at O Falafel, and it's amazing, and you should try it, and that you're up and down the coast. So in Astoria, it's at the Indoor Garden Supply.
Indoor Garden Supply is where we park,
it's
and on Thursday,
and
this is 13th
and
Duane.
Mm-hmm. Across the street from the Astoria Cooperative.
And there's a couple of places for you to park yourselves if you want to sit there and eat in the sunshine.
Yeah, there is actually
a couple of picnic tables.
And Tally has her juice cart there.
Yes, and then there's the juice box is also there. So this is
the
beginning.
Yep,
yeah.
it's
coming.
If anybody want to join in, you're invited to bring your cart over.
But call Oscar first.
I know. So where else do you take your cart to?
Then Sunday we're at the Astoria Farmer Sunday Market.
Yeah.
Astoria Sunday Market. And Tuesdays we're in Cannon Beach.
And Cannon Beach is from, you open up at 12, right? You open up at 12 in Cannon Beach?
12 to 5.
12 to 5, and because the food courts open a little early.
It's at 1, actually.
At 1 o'clock, okay.
And the market starts at 2, and it's a really great market.
It's a great market, I agree.
Similar to the Thursday market, a lot of fresh vegetable
and where is fruit. And the market is in the central, it's right in front of Cannon Beach City Hall.
So the market is in Midtown, at the same entrance that you would take in to go see Haystack Rock. So
exactly.
It's right there at Hemlock and
Gower
Streets. Thank you, Mark.
We were.
I should know this.
You should know this.
It's a fun day over there.
We
do the market
and
walk on the beach.
With the Cannon Beach thing because people said, oh, it's a small market and, you know, this. And you know what? It's amazing. It's just such a nice market. And it's not that small at all. It actually covers all the aspects of your needs. There is any kind of food kind that you'd like to have over there that's available. Not just not cooked food, but also any kind of vending.
There's
farmers.
Some great food.
Yeah, there
are
plants so people can get plants and information on gardening at
small
home and making
farmers
fresh food.
That bring their goods and variety is, of course, and I was very impressed.
We
love that market.
An all food market.
Yeah.
And then the River People Market was actually modeled after that.
I wondered because they're similar. They're really pure markets. That's great.
Yeah, well, Kristen was very instrumental in starting the Cannon Beach Farmers Market and also the River People Farmers Market, so I think that's probably why.
Well, we have
it's
Mark.
Got her stamp all over.
Our hat is off to you. They're
I don't
fun.
Know how we do without Mark that fixing up all the difficulties. And somebody always has to delegate everything.
And just
and
for our audience, Omri is talking about Mark Albrecht, our ever-patient engineer, who is blushing and smiling as we record this. So, and he's very instrumental in running the Cannon Beach Farmers Market.
He's saved us a number of times over at Cannon Beach when things aren't going the way they need to be.
So what are your hours when you are at the Astoria Indoor Gardens?
So here's what we, everything changed. That's why I said the chemistry of the cart had changed. Originally, you know, we're there every day, 6 days a week. One day a week, I have to be in my kitchen, which is in Brownsmead. I use, by the way, the Grange, which is like a co-op kitchen in Brownsmead. So I use, I work over there and I prepare the majority of the chopping and cutting that the cart does not allow for space reasons. And then I have some storage refrigeration there with that. And when I come, because since we live in Brownsmead, when I come in the morning to work, I pick up through the Grange some of the things that I need in refrigeration to keep it cold, you know, all the
That's
way
great.
Stuck it in here. And the cart is working, you know, I get there at 10:30 and I normally by 11 o'clock I'm open. And there's some days it's not exactly like that, so some of the customers really get a little bit offended, but nothing personal, guys.
So what days in the summertime are you there?
So things have changed. It was like every now, because of the markets, because Sunday market, Tuesday, and Thursday. So I am there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And see? Thursday, the market.
So and there. Thursday, the market, we're there all day.
Right. What about Saturday?
Saturday, I'm
he needs a day in the kitchen.
Saturday, I'm in the
Saturday's
kitchen.
Prep day.
So that
okay.
day, I had to decide one day I had to be. So I figured Saturday will be a good day because I believe that this cart is more service because, especially where it's located, is to service
sure.
the working community in Astoria.
Which is so
great. So during
great.
The weekdays, the working people need a place quick to
yeah.
eat. They come in,
yeah.
they pick up a wrap, they go, or we deliver or what. Whereas the weekend, it's like they can go to the coast. They can go someplace. You
yeah.
know? So I think
yeah.
the cart works for weekdays better for us because we like to accommodate the working people.
And so are we going to see a fleet of Omri carts?
That will never happen.
No? Are you sure?
No, we're not sure.
I see Leslie just kind of rolling her eyes
sure,
over here.
As of right now, no.
We're not completely sure about these things, but we don't think so.
Yeah. And so you were saying, too, that you delivered, and I when we were speaking before the show, you were talking about sometimes in the wintertime, you
right.
would make deliveries
right.
to people in town.
More.
So people
I
would
mean,
call and place their orders with
I delivered today, too. You know,
yeah.
somebody called in. We deliver as we can, but...
Yeah. But we did have a nice business in the winter when weather's bad. People can call up and...
And you deliver to them.
I
hand
that.
Deliver them a
That is really
handmade.
Well, you don't always want to go out in
yeah.
blustery, terrible weather, especially if you've dressed very nicely for work that day and you don't want to get completely windblown to
exactly.
go get your lunch. So that's
yeah.
nice that
yeah.
you offer that service. That's fantastic.
So what's your most popular menu item?
Depends on the day.
Falafel! You know, it's called O Falafel.
O Falafel.
And why is it called O Falafel? Well, first, obviously, Oregon is Oregon Falafel.
Oh, well.
So that O is for Oregon, actually,
I thought it was
first.
For Omri.
Then there is...
Oh, yep.
Oh, for Omri. And then there is,
falafel.
Leslie says it better. Oh, falafel. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, we make falafel. But we do have Oregon lamb kebabs that we make.
Mm-hmm.
Ground lamb with seasoning, which are also very simple, with no preservative and no additive and no stuffing. And what we make, all grilled. And then we make wraps with them. The general
oh, wow.
thing that we serve are wraps with falafel, grilled chicken, grilled vegetables, or grilled lamb that goes in the wrap with hummus, tabbouleh, and Israeli, with some tahina and hot sauce that we make. Everything on the premises from scratch, including the pita, is rolled by hand. The dough is made by hand and rolled
cooked
by hand.
Cooked on the grill.
And it's grilled, not baked.
They look so much better than pita that you would buy. You couldn't
yeah.
buy
it's
pita
not
like that.
Thing.
It's not
no.
even the same
thing.
The
pita
okay, yeah.
is made, again, by hand. I make the dough, even the dough is made by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And portioned and then rolled with a roller.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's grilled instead of baked so that it's not even baked. It's just, it's really, that is Middle
oh,
Eastern. You see?
Yeah.
That every, that this food
Fire.
Is made like the way, it very so
uh-huh.
simple
mm-hmm.
that it, this is one essence of the Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, Middle Eastern
yeah, so
food is that simplicity.
When I've made pita you know? Before, I put it in actually the floor of my oven.
Yeah, you throw
right?
it on the metal
yeah,
on the
right?
plate.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So you just
yeah.
put it on the grill then.
Yeah, well, yeah. I put it on the fire, so I
okay.
get a little bit of fire
uh-huh.
in it. You
sure.
know, because
mm-hmm.
there's a little bit of every little thing of like a little this, a little that, and then you get that feel of the breeze of the sea. You
right.
know, and then we're if you stand out here, you get some of the actual scent of the sea.
Yeah,
and you close your eyes, says, I think I'm in Morocco. I'm in Egypt. So.
All that
fair amount of imagination.
All that
being in Israel,
especially warm
sitting
day.
Sitting in Israel in Tel Aviv on the coast and having a wrap, a falafel.
Oh,
wrap.
So nice.
I mean,
and you have tea, don't you have? Do you have a?
We
a,
make nana. It's
uh-huh.
a tea with fresh mint leaves, and we serve it hot or cold.
Oh,
I love that.
Well, here the tea again. We make tea with mint leaves, not
uh-huh.
with mint tea bag.
Yeah,
see?
Fresh mint.
So I mean, and then we make Turkish coffee, which has cardamom in it.
That is so good.
And cardamom is the flair, you know. And the coffee is done.
And you make it properly with it, where you have the sludge in
the
bottom.
In the cup.
Oh yeah,
where
love
you get
that.
The coffee in this doesn't go through paper
oh,
filter.
No,
the
no,
boils
no, no,
into
no.
the cup. With the coffee and the cardamom
you
in
can,
it.
And you
got to
make sure you don't drain the cup.
Up.
Yeah,
yes.
just drink it to the end, but the last sip is always
Leave
the best.
And what do you do dessert-wise? Baklava or...
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, the baklava with the V is pronounced in Greece because V and W also in English and in Europe,
mm-hmm.
like I say, we say water instead of Wasser, you know. So
uh-huh.
In the Middle East, where most of the Arab nations, and including Israel, we say baklava.
Baklava.
Say the V is W, where it becomes W sound.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of nuts are in your baklava?
Walnuts, sugar, water, and rose
water
seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
were layered with phyllo dough and butter. It is very rich.
Oh,
it is
it's very delicious.
Sweet.
It's
so just amazing. It's a classic Middle Eastern dessert that appears in every country, you know, whether it's Turkey, Greece, Spain, you know, and then you can go, I believe France in some many different ways, and then you go around Morocco, Libya, you know, Egypt, and all the other Arab, in Israel. So it's a classic. We figured we got to have something sweet.
Yeah. So no, it seems like the perfect, especially with that Turkish coffee.
Mm. We had to do something that's not that healthy. But it is healthier than some other things.
Yeah. So what's in your Israeli salad? What's that consist of? I mean, you've mentioned it, but I know I've seen it.
Again, very simple. You know, the Israeli and the tabbouleh. Okay. The two light salads here. One Israeli is cucumbers, chopped, diced small. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, quarter inch in quarter inch in diameter. Say square. Mm-hmm. Cucumber, pepper, tomatoes. It doesn't call for it, but I put a little bit chopped fresh basil leaves in it because it gives some aromatics to it. Mm-hmm. And some scallions, which are green onions, and the seasoned
fresh squeezed lemon.
Seasoned, very simple. Just fresh squeezed lemon that we squeeze. Also, we don't buy lemon juice, but we squeeze to get lemons, which makes a big difference. Olive oil, salt and pepper. Just to taste.
Perfect.
And the salt that we use is kosher salt, which is like a sea salt, which is very clean and doesn't have any, it's not concentrated or iodized or what.
They eat this salad about 3 times a day in Israel.
That's great.
They eat it with eggs for breakfast. They eat it with their lunchtime meal, and they eat it for dinner.
It's a really healthy, tasty
salad.
Crispy, fresh thing that is good for your stomach. It's a good starter, so we eat it for breakfast. With smoked fish and olives and, you know, maybe a feta cheese or whatnot and things like that, or variety of cheese.
Sounds so good.
Now, the tabbouleh is very similar. It's not similar in ingredients, but it is the concept. Tabbouleh is very more famous in the world than Israeli salad, which probably will change one day. But tabbouleh is parsley, mint, and all fresh. Gotta be
really fresh.
Fresh. Now, the parsley has
out
to be Italian parsley, not curly parsley, because the curly parsley doesn't have the flavor. What they call Italian parsley is what we grow in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, it's that flat leaf that has a special flavor to it. So mint, this tomato, bulgur wheat, lemon juice, and olive oil. Again, very simple, light.
Well, and that is a perfect note for us to wrap.
I am so hungry right now. I just can't wait to eat.
I'm sorry I didn't bring it.
No, it's good. Yeah, we'll be heading there next.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's food talk. This has been a great talk. And people that want to come eat your food, you've heard about, they're at Cannon Beach Farmers Market, Astoria Sunday Market, the River People Farmers Market, Astoria Indoor Garden Supply, and you can go talk to Omri and Leslie, order some
food. Would love that if you come by.
And the Astoria Co-op.
Yeah.
So,
thank you so much for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. And please go out and visit one of your local farmers markets.
Yeah. Thank you so much to our engineer, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. You know, you gotta remember.
This show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.